Welcome. This is Mallory Patrick, and you are listening to the Newness of Spirit podcast. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your son who is the word, who can come into our hearts in that way and transform us from the very core of our being so that it radiates out to the glory of God the Father. We ask that our little meditation today would be a tool for you to do just that, Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you, as always. And I bring to you today a little portion of scripture I've been meditating on for a while out of 3 John. That's John's third epistle. It's an area the Lord has shared with me before, and he just brought it back around recently due to current events in my personal life, and he brought this passage to feed me as I was serving him in my current events. And I hope that you too have ways of serving the Lord in your current events, and that he speaks eternal words in your heart so that the Spirit of Christ flows forth whenever you are serving him in your current events. That's what I want, and so I'm simply sharing with you where I am learning to let Jesus live. And it's exciting to me. And what's also exciting is not just learning to let him live in me, but as I am learning to let him live in me, seeing that Jesus flowing out of me from the Father's eternal point of view. That makes it so wonderful and so important. You know how the world screams at us all day and just the things of life pull at us constantly. And it makes us hard. It makes it hard for us to keep our eyes on Jesus and maintain that living connection with the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. Well, when he brings this word to us, his living word, it helps with that, and we can feed on that, and it strengthens us in our inner man that Christ can dwell in our hearts by faith. Well, enough introduction. Let's go ahead and look at our passage in John, 3 John for today. I'm going to start in verse 1. And I will read through verse 8. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Okay, it just sounds like a humdrum letter. Thanks for, you know, helping some folks out. But I really believe in my heart, because of the things that the Spirit has shared with me personally, that there is a kernel of eternity here, a kernel or an essence or a seed of, I want to say the deeper things of God, but I don't mean that like tantalizing mysteries. I mean the things that go straight to who God is and what is the deepest in his heart and how he is. I feel like we see it right here, and I'm excited to share it with you. So let's get started. Verse 1. Gaius is our object, the one that John is speaking to, and he describes him as the well-beloved, whom he loves in the truth. And just right there, the well-beloved whom John loves. Now, John regards Gaius as his child. We know that from verse 4, which would make John the spiritual father in this passage, right? And I have shared in other places, I think in the reading of 2 Timothy that I did a few months back, how when you have a spiritual father who has a child or a son, that if it's a true father-son relationship, the way the Holy Spirit intends us to understand it, it reflects or is filled with the relationship between the Heavenly Father and his son. Not that John is like the Heavenly Father and Guys is like the Son, but that relationship is like a vessel in which the Father and the Son can express their relationship. Okay, so we see it right here from the very beginning. Gaius is the well-beloved. Whether John meant it or not consciously, the Holy Spirit certainly means that Gaius is the one who is the vessel of the beloved Son. Okay, the eternal beloved Son. Now, some people might think that's a bit of a stretch, but I promise you that it's not. And I want to show you in the scriptures, besides the reference I just made about the Father and the Son, I want to show you a verse that I think will help tie it together, because I really feel like this is important. So let's just turn, if you will, or just listen to me read, Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. Let's see, I have to turn in my Bible, so you might hear some pages rustling. Okay, here it is. Matthew 12, 18. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, who is that talking about? You know who that's talking about. That's talking about the Son. The Father is speaking in the book of Isaiah concerning the coming of his Son, right? And how does he describe his Son? Number one, the Son is his servant. Number two, he is the chosen or the elect. Number three, the Son is the Father's beloved, in whom his soul is well pleased. Okay? Now that is, I know we all agree, that is Jesus. That is the Son of God. Okay? But now if we hold that thought and go back over to 3 John and listen to verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. That sounds like our passage over in Matthew, just a little bit, like that one element of the beloved, right? Look at verse 3. I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So that harkens back to the verse in Matthew where it says that his soul will be well pleased in his servant. So can you see how John is rejoicing? He's well pleased in Gaius, the servant. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But I hope that I can show you that tie. Now, again, I cannot stop repeating and never will stop repeating that there is no person who is Jesus other than Jesus, right? Okay. There's only one Son of God. However, in the New Covenant, part of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross in bringing us into a relationship with himself was to fill us with himself. We are filled with the Spirit of Jesus. And now, if we allow the cross to be applied, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So when we see these descriptive terms in the scriptures and it's talking about a believer, you could actually say, the believer is the vessel. We're really describing the Son in the believer, because we are just earthen pots and Jesus is our treasure on the inside, isn't he? So John is rejoicing that the Spirit of Jesus has been so faithfully walked out by Gaius. Could you say it that way, maybe? Okay. So Gaius is someone in whom the Spirit of the Son resides. And as believers, if you will, we're Jesus's body on earth. Jesus doesn't walk on earth anymore, except he walks in his body, okay, by his Spirit in us. Now, there's a quality to that Spirit. We're just not sons of God, and we can just walk around and act however we want and display any kind of attitude. And I'm sure you know this already, but let's just bring it home, okay? There is a servant, a spirit of a servant, and that the Son carries himself in when he walks the earth, when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago, and when he walks the earth today in us. We know, first of all, that he is a servant, right? The Spirit of the Lord rests upon him, but there's a quality to this spirit. So let's look over really quickly at Hebrews 9:14, or I'll just read it and you can listen. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. Okay? So the Son, Christ, offered himself through the eternal spirit that offers itself. So the spirit has a quality of offering itself up in sacrifice to the glory of God the Father and to our salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay? It is the spirit of the crucified. I believe we are seeing the same spirit exhibited in Gaius in this passage. Look at verse 3. I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Gaius is walking in the truth, in the nature of the crucified. Okay, we're going to see that play out. I'm going to show that to you more. It's not really said just yet in the first three verses how this is so. But we are going to see that in the following verses. In the meantime, we have a man, Gaius, who is walking in the truth. And the walking is what I want to bring out of this verse for us to meditate on. Walking means repeated steps. Okay? Walking isn't just a step. And I know. I have rejoiced many times because I made one step and went, woohoo, I made a step in the Lord. And that's fine. I will rejoice with you when you make a step. But I do want to emphasize here in this passage that Gaius is making a lot of steps. So I think he's just left me in the dust with my one step. May the Lord continue to find room in me to help me make more and more steps. Amen. So he's walking daily in a certain way that displays something that we know is that spirit of the beloved Son who serves and offers himself. And that's what we're going to see. So what is Gaius doing? What is the great thing that John is rejoicing over? Why was John inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a letter that would end up in the Bible about how much Gaius is well-beloved, just like the well-beloved Son, and manifesting the Spirit of Christ? What is he doing? And would you like to get a letter like that? I know I would, to have the Lord so pleased that he would put it down for posterity. What is Gaius doing? Well, let's read verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So, what does this passage tell us about Gaius's pleasing walk, who walks in the truth? He serves the Lord's people. In what way does he serve the Lord's people? Specifically in the area of hospitality. Oh my goodness, he cares for the traveling saints, specifically traveling ministers who are stewards of the gospel and preaching the gospel around the known world. So what does that mean? What does that mean that he's caring for the saints? Well, he's feeding them. Well, that means the purchase of food out of one's own funds. That means preparing the food. And you know, back then they didn't have fast food places and drive-thrus where they could just run and pick up something or sub sandwiches or something. They had to make the food from scratch. So there's a lot that goes into that, a lot of time, a lot of energy. He was providing lodging, a place for them to stay. Maybe he had an extra bedroom in his house. Maybe he gave up his own bedroom. I don't know. Anyhow, taking that kind of trouble, he has to make sure the facilities are clean and presentable for people who are coming. And then when they're gone, there is the cleaning of the linens and of the bed linens. Right? There's a lot that goes into hospitality. Maybe some of you know that already. Maybe some of you don't. But he had been doing this for the saints, and it says that he has been doing it faithfully. So there's a lot of work involved here, and it's all very practical, mundane stuff, and he's doing it faithfully. So there's a lot to chew on here. First of all, that's what God is so excited about. Somebody who's washing the bed linens, you know, somebody who's cooking the food. That's what made it into the Bible. Somebody who gives up a room in their home for a traveling minister. That is what has earned the title well beloved. He's not even the guy God is using. God's anointing somebody else to preach the word. God's using somebody else in amazing ways to raise up the church and to bring souls into the kingdom. But Gaius is the well-beloved. Gaius's name is in the scripture. And interestingly enough, these traveling ministers that he's serving, we don't even know who they are. They're nameless. They're not the important ones, if you will, in this particular book of the Bible. Now, are they the ones God is using? Yes. Have they been given authority to as ministers of the Word of God? Yes. Should we honor them? Yes. Are they the ones that God is going to use to bring people into the kingdom and to grow up people in the Lord? Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. And yet, God is saying something to us about where the spirit of the well-beloved is resting. And it's resting in Gaius. Now, this doesn't mean that just because you cook and you do the laundry, that it's the spirit of Christ in you. That's not what I'm saying here. Because, you know, we have the Martha incident back in the Gospels, right? Where Martha is doing all that stuff, but her spirit is off and the Lord has to deal with that. But here, the spirit is right. Here, there is the spirit of God's servant, his chosen, his beloved, in whom his soul is well pleased. That is how Gaius is carrying himself in this ministry to the saints, okay? So the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is tying the eternal spirit of Christ to the service of the saints in mundane things. Let that sink into your spirit and let something grab you, because it's not just about doing mundane things and it's not just about people who do that stuff and giving him a pat on the back. We're talking about a spirit that empties itself, that lowers itself and goes below other saints and makes other saints more important and sacrifices itself to help others on their way. Okay, that is what we're talking about here. And we're talking about doing it in very practical ways, okay? And not only practical ways, but doing it faithfully. Look at what it says. Beloved, thou doest faithfully. That means he's been through a few seasons. That means it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows for Gaius, has it? That means it wasn't always easy, it wasn't always fun, and it wasn't always pleasant, okay? Faithful means you've gone through some seasons. You're in season and out, right? When you're in season and everyone's going, oh, what a wonderful ministry you have, and patting you on the back, and you're recognized for how God uses you, that's one season. And it's pretty easy to serve the Lord in a season like that because the flesh really isn't challenged much. But then there's the season where maybe there's a changing of the guard in leadership or just a new bunch of people coming on and doing things the way they do it, and you're kind of set aside or slighted or looked down on or forgotten. It happens to everybody. That's just the way of the world. That's nothing new. And in that season, Gaius was the same. He demonstrated the same lowly spirit of doing the laundry and making the food and blessing and honoring from the heart those whom God had appointed for the preaching of the gospel. Okay? So he did it faithfully. Okay, let's see. So this is what John is singing Gaius's praises for. This is what he's saying is where it's at, that this is the core of being a believer. Amazing. Now, that's not where my mind goes. Perhaps that's not where your mind goes. When I think of, you know, leaving a legacy of something that the Lord will remember, that's not where my mind goes, to doing the laundry for somebody else, to giving up a room, to being inconvenienced, to pouring out my life and spending my life on others. So the spirit of lowliness is something that the Lord has really latched on to. And obviously it had been going on enough that John had received repeated reports of it, because it says in verse 6 that his love that he had borne, these people have made mention of it to John, that, man, there's something going on with this Gaius guy. I mean, he's not just giving us a place to stay, or he's not just handling our food when we come. We are touched by the Spirit of Christ in him. It doesn't say this in the scriptures, but I hear the Spirit, if you will, of it, that when something is done by the Spirit of Christ, when it's genuinely done by Christ, that comes up from the innermost being or the belly of a person. It's Jesus, and it touches that person's spirit. And this is happening. Gaius has gone low in such a way where people are being affected, not just by their earthly natural needs being met, but there's a spiritual thing, a transaction that's happening here, okay? So, hospitality to the Lord's people, especially to ministers, is the beloved Son, the very Son himself, being made manifest as a life in Gaius, which, okay, if your brain hasn't broken yet, just add this, which says something about Jesus. That Jesus isn't being identified with the ministers of the gospel. Jesus is being identified with the person who serves the ministers of the gospel. Oh my goodness, this should turn our world upside down. And if we understood this, we would stop worrying about whether or not we're the one that God is using and whether or not we're the one that's being brought forward. And we would go as quick as we could to the lower seat to begin to serve from the heart. If we love God, this will matter to us. If we really say we want to know the Lord as he is, then our ears will be attuned to things like this, and we will go here. We will go to that lower seat, and we will bind ourselves up with the Son and become the servants of all men. This says something about Jesus. Now think about Jesus. He ministered for 3 years, was crucified, then he was raised from the dead, seated in heaven, ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and from that place he and the Father sent the Holy Spirit and sent gifts and sent ministries to us. So Jesus gave us the ministries and the things to do on earth. But he doesn't really have much of a ministry right now, does he? What is his ministry? He intercedes for us. That's his ministry right now. But other than that, he doesn't do a whole lot up there for like we're doing. We're running around down here. We're, you know, putting on outreaches, and we're, you know, teaching Bible studies and doing Sunday school and going on mission trips. We're doing all kinds of stuff. We're finding our giftings. We're operating in our giftings. We're learning how to be leaders. Man, we're so busy with doing stuff for God that he gives us that we can't think straight. But look at Jesus. He's not running around doing all that stuff. He's simply interceding. So what does that tell us? He gave us the things to do. Jesus is still serving his church. So he is serving the ministers. And then the ministers, if you're a minister, I mean, I'm a minister, we pray, oh God, strengthen me. Oh God, give me the word. You know, oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, direct me. And so then we ask Jesus to serve our ministry. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't ask for these things, but let's just get this straight. The Spirit of Jesus is to serve someone else's ministry. The Spirit of Jesus is not necessarily being the minister. Now, do I think the minister can have the Spirit of Christ? I do. But we are in 3 John, so that's where we're focusing, okay? So it says something about Jesus. He gave us gifts of ministry and things to do, and he doesn't really have much himself except for intercession at the right hand of the Father. The very nature of Jesus is to serve the ministers. That's what this gospel, that's what this epistle is all about. Okay, so let me just read from my notes here, and I'm going to wrap up pretty quick. Gaius has a reputation of bowing and bringing himself to the lower seat where the Spirit of the Son in someone else is being brought forward, right? So the minister is being brought forward and honored with a ministry to reach the lost, to build churches, and Gaius's reputation is to bring himself to the lower seat before those vessels, okay? So here comes Christ in the flesh, if you will. They are the ones God is using, the ministers of the gospel, the ones he has chosen to bring forward. But Gaius bears the title of the beloved son, just not the one God is bringing forward. Okay, so there are those God is bringing forward as ministry, in ministry, and there are those who bear the image of the beloved son. Interesting. Okay. The spirit of the son in Gaius honors the spirit of the son where God is honoring it. Okay. The spirit of the son in Gaius honors the vessels that God is honoring and honors that spirit within the vessels that God is bringing forward. Amen. Okay, so Gaius fellowships with God, if you will, because this is the way God is. And in this way, he is of God. And just skip down to verse 11 really quick. He that doeth good is of God. You know, he's walking in the truth. You know, he's walking in the truth. Honoring the spirit of the Son and someone else in practical ways, practical lowly ways, as a lifestyle speaks to the core of who Jesus Christ is as a being. It speaks to the core of the eternal Son. That's what I meant earlier when I said there's a kernel of eternity here. It looks to us like doing the laundry. And maybe it is just doing the laundry, okay? If the spirit of it isn't there. But if you are walking in this spirit, it is the spirit of the well-beloved. It is the spirit of the servant, God's chosen, his beloved, the one in whom his soul is well-pleased. You know, and so it seems that to John and to the Holy Spirit who inspired John, that this image that Gaius is displaying of the well-beloved is one of the higher manifestations of the Son of God on planet Earth. So let that sink down into you. Because that is not where our minds go. That's not how we're motivated most of the time. I know. I'm a person. Like, I don't go here. But this is what the Word is saying. Can we enter into the flow of eternal life? Anyone can be of this spirit. You don't have to be mature in the Lord. You don't have to be in charge or have a domain. You don't have to be particularly gifted with some kind of a spiritual gifting. And the Lord has left it open for all to enter into that which is most dear to his heart. This lowly spirit that honors others and sends them on their way and says, God be with you. Let me see how I can get you to go forward in your ministry. And I will simply love you and at my expense just pour out for you. You know? Man, I hope that the spirit of this is translating because it has captured my soul and I am learning and I've just taken a couple steps. I can't say I'm walking in it, but I am taking steps to learn to see these opportunities and to move in this lowly spirit and let the Lord have his son out of me and let myself be content and rejoicing and satisfied in that I have been privileged to display and be in the image of something that is very deep in God's heart. Well, that's all the time I have today. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I will pray quickly and close us out. Until next time. Lord, thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit that lifts up Jesus. And my words can't do anything. I'm just a dull earthen vessel. But may your spirit take whatever is real of this word that the Holy Spirit actually breathed into existence to begin with and let it give it wings and bring it into our hearts. And may we decrease and may Christ increase to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.